I'm Matt Hare. Welcome to Cornell. Welcome to Ithaca. Welcome to the non-model genomics workshop, or according to a sign out there, apparently the non-genomics workshop. We've all been in the non-genomics world. We're trying to crawl out of it and use some of this new technology. And I've been really interested to see what all of you are interested in and what you're working on in your applications. I think what I should have designed in this is a third day or more time when I would get a chance to talk to you and you know, or read posters or something. This is pretty intensive. We're going 8 to 6 both days. And we've packed a lot into this workshop. I'm pretty excited about what we have and what the instructors have put together. I hope you'll find that it helps you to retool if you're retooling, or gives you the introduction you need, helps you take advantage of the technology and design your experiments more smartly. I want to do a few things just by way of introduction. First of all, thank the American Genetics Association for most of the funding that made this possible, and for the several training grants that, I mean, not training grants, but travel grants that went to a few of you, and also the Free CPG, the Cornell Center for Comparative and Population Genomics on campus here, also contributed funding. I wanted to say that when I use this word non-model, it's sort of shorthand for quite a lot. And you know, most people don't recognize that. And so it's not necessarily the best term to use. So it doesn't just mean non-mouse, non-human. To me, it implies, one, that we're typically, for many of us, working without a reference genome. And the bioinformatic challenges are quite different if you're trying to assemble your data de novo without being able to map it to a physical map, reference genome. But it also implies, I think many or most of you are coming from an ecology or conservation background where your interests are very different than many of the very exciting and deep questions that are being addressed with model systems, and where the emphasis is quite often in studying populations in their natural environment. And so for the first time, really being able to go beyond a handful of neutral markers and assay at the genomic scale population variation, that includes both functional genetic variation and neutral variation, and trying to sort that out, but really for the first time being able to look at that functional variation and how it's distributed among individuals, among populations, across environmental gradients. And that's pretty exciting. And obviously that's there's all flavors of models now, and there's our laboratory models, there's sort of eco models where genomically they're the ones with the best genetic resources are going to be able to ask the deepest questions in terms of genetic architecture and evolutionary genetics. But I believe there's still going to be a lot of application, particularly in conservation, where we want a fast answer. We're trying to address a question about management, about taxon boundaries, about patterns of gene flow across space where there could be different management priorities. And for that, we can benefit from having a whole lot more markers, benefit from looking at the functional genetics as well as the neutral markers. And the questions are still one of association, not necessarily finding the gene necessarily, not necessarily understanding the genetic architecture, but looking initially at pattern and taking a first stab at process like gene flow and evolutionary diversification. And thank you to those TAs taking their time to work with us here. I also wanted to thank Melanie Moss, an admin assistant in my department, Natural Resources, who's been helping to organize this and is here in, on and off during the day, and the folks at the Statler that are helping to make this run smoothly.